And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Walt Whitman and I, was written by Virginia Mazur and is presented as a commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the publication of Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass.
Come in.
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir, but this boy, we caught him stealing.
I wasn't stealing, I tell you.
What weren't you stealing?
A book, sir. I was...
A book? Oh, that's interesting. What book?
Here it is, sir, a book on botany, Leaves of Grass.
It's not a botany book, sir.
I know.
It's poetry.
I know. I happen to be an admirer of Walt Whitman myself.
You're not going to let him get away with this, sir. If everybody who comes into Wanamaker's store help themselves to the book...
I'll handle this, Mr. Casey. You may go.
As you say, sir, but stealing is stealing. I don't know what the world...
He's right, you know.
But I didn't steal it. Not exactly. I was bringing it back when he caught me.
I see. Can we put it this way? You were the victim of an irresistible temptation?
Yes, sir.
I'll put you to a test. If you are the ardent admirer of Whitman that you claim to be, then quote me something.
Well, that's easy. This one is my favorite right now. It's called, Give Me the Splendid Silent Sun. Give me the splendid silent sun with all his beams full dazzling.
Give me juicy autumnal fruit, ripe and red from the orchard.
Give me a field where the unmowed grass grows. Give me an arbor. Give me the trellised grape.
The year was 1896. The place was Wanamaker's department store in New York City, and I was the boy to whom it happened. Last night I read something in the paper that brought it all back, an item about Wanamaker's closing its New York branch. A curious sadness overtook me. All these years, a part of myself, a young and dauntless self, has resided within those granite walls. I go to my bookshelves. Yes, there it is. The yellowed copy of Leaves of Grass that I took from Wanamaker's nearly 60 years ago. The book falls open at the familiar place.
Give me the splendid silent sun with all his beams full dazzling.
Give me the splendid silent sun. I'm an old man now, and the Wanamaker's I knew has vanished. But the words spark the old flame. I'm a boy again with a boy's aching grasp after the indefinable. I'm 16. I work 12 hours a day in a sweatshop. I glue red, white, and blue cotton flags onto wooden sticks. There are no windows in the factory. Everywhere is this sickening, all-pervading odor of fish glue. 150 flags an hour. 12 times 150. 1,800 flags. So I measure off my day.
Schweinehund! What do you call yourself doing?
Let go of my ear. The whistle blew. I'm getting ready to go home.
How many times do I tell you? In this factory, we don't go by no whistle. We go by my watch. Back to work, all of you. Schweinehund, Lausbub, verfluchter Hund!
Like the other immigrants pouring into America in those years, we had come to the new world to escape the sorrows of the old. So far, I had seen no essential difference. If the old world had had its oppressors, so did the new in the shape of Mr. Myers, my boss. What was democracy to me? A red, white, and blue flag on a wooden stick. Walt Whitman was to enlighten me. But without Zelig, there would have been no Walt Whitman.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Zelig.
I'm Mars.
Good. You look like an intelligent sort. Let's talk.
You're new. You don't know old Myers. If he catches anybody talking...
Everything in life is a risk. Why do you work in this grubby place anyway?
I've gotten into a bad habit. Eating. Why do you?
With me, it's merely a means to an end. By day, I am a sticker boy. By night, I pursue my real goal.
What is that?
I'm a theological student.
No, you don't say.
Don't let it oppress you.
Well, I'm surprised, that's all. My mother's uncle was a rabbi. He did nothing but study and pray all day long. Back in Russia, it was.
Well, this is America.
I must say, I can't see anything so wonderful about America. But getting back to my uncle, he was a very holy man.
I've no doubt. I gather you think that holiness is inconsistent with a sweatshop.
Well, you stay here a while. For one thing, it smells.
You're wrong. It stinks. But that's immaterial. Why should I wish to see God better than this day?
Huh?
I see something of God each hour of the 24 and each moment then. In the faces of men and women I see God, and in my own face in the glass. I find letters from God dropped in the street, and everyone is signed by God's name. And I leave them where they are, for I know that wheresoever I go, others will punctually come forever and ever.
Selig, say that again and say it slow. I never heard anybody talk like that before.
You idiot! That's not me talking. It's Walt Whitman.
Well, who's he?
Do you mean to tell me you've never heard of Walt Whitman?
Schweine und! What do you think you are doing?
Who is he? Quiet! Here comes old Myers.
I don't care about Myers. Who is Walt Whitman? I have said that the soul is not more than the body. And I have said that the body is not more than the soul. And nothing, not God, is greater to one than oneself is. And whoever walks a furlong without sympathy walks to his own funeral dressed in a shroud. And I or you, pocketless of a dime, may purchase the pick of the earth.
I was 16, a sticker boy in a smelly sweatshop, an immigrant, poor, despised, inarticulate, a nameless face in the crowd. But Walt Whitman gave me an identity.
And there is no trade or employment, but the young man following it may become a hero. And there is no object so soft, but it makes a hub for the wheeled universe. And I say to any man or woman, let your soul stand cool and composed before a million universes.
In the world I lived in, one did not own books. My friend Zelig had borrowed a copy of Leaves of Grass from the public library and painstakingly copied out his favorites. I would do likewise.
I'm sorry, I can't let you take this book.
I can't take it. Why? Why can't I?
Walt Whitman isn't considered suitable for children.
Well, I'm not a child. I'm 16.
16? You don't look it.
But I am. I'll bring my mother. She'll tell you.
I'm sorry. You'll be much better off not reading this kind of thing. Now or ever. It'll only unsettle you. What about a nice boy's book? Something like Tom Brown's School Days?
A child said, "What is grass?" fetching it to me with full hands. How could I answer the child? I do not know what it is any more than he. I guess it must be the flag of my disposition, out of hopeful green stuff woven. Or I guess it is the handkerchief of the Lord, a scented gift and remembrance designedly dropped, bearing the owner's name somewhere in the corners, that we may see and remark and say... Ooh. Night after night now, I stay in our tenement kitchen, making my copy of Leaves of Grass from Zelig's copy.
Are you still up? You better come to bed now, Morris.
In a little while, Mama.
The fire burned out.
I know it.
You'll freeze to death.
No, I won't. Give me the splendid silent sun. Give me the splendid silent sun. With all his beams full dazzling.
Give me the splendid silent sun. I was intoxicated, afire with my own power. I knew that all was written to me and I must get what the writing meant. I knew I was deathless. My orbit could not be swept by a carpenter's compass. I knew the Spirit of God was the brother of my own, and that all the men ever born were also my brothers, and the women my sisters and lovers. The sweatshop lost its stench. The threat of old Myers, my boss, diminished. I took the poems to work with me and kept them hidden under a pile of flags, snatching secret glances at them when old Myers wasn't looking. It was tempting fate.
Schweinehund, what do you think you are doing?
Why, nothing here, Myers.
That's right, nothing. Here, I got a big order, 5,000 flags for the Grover Cleveland parade, and you sit doing nothing? I'll teach you!
Don't you hit me.
Put that ruler down. It's got a brass edge.
Stop it. Stop it. Let me alone.
Do you want to kill him?
That'll teach you who is the boss. Now back to work. All of you. Schweinehund, Lausbuck.
What does he think this is? The old country? Tomorrow I will go with you and repay this Cossack with the interest.
No, you won't, Mama.
Yeah.
I'm not a baby. I can take care of old Myers myself, can't I, Zelig?
Take my advice. He's got his eye on you now. Leave Walt Whitman at home.
I will not.
That's right. Don't cut out to him.
He caught me unaware. Tomorrow I'll be ready for him. If he comes near me, I shall pick up whatever I can find and knock him cold.
What do you say to that, Zelig?
Could I have another cup of tea, Mrs. Stern?
You're evading.
No! You want an easy answer. Well, there isn't one. Nothing is black or white, yes or no. Look, suppose you do not care Myers cold. He comes to or he doesn't. If he doesn't come to, you are arrested. If he does come to, he fires you.
Let him fire me.
Yes, let him.
$6 a week is not to be sneezed at.
Oh, you are talking from your stomach. What about justice?
Very well. We will consider the case from its moral philosophic point of view. Consider the history of mankind.
I don't care about mankind. What about my son, Maury?
Give me an instance where violence hasn't begotten more violence. Do you expect by knocking Herr Myers cold to purge the evil out of his soul?
You talk very smart, Zelig. Now you answer me this. Did Moses or didn't he strike the Egyptian overseer?
He did indeed.
Then why do you say I shouldn't hit old Myers?
I don't say you shouldn't. I'm merely trying to point out the moral consequences of an act of violence.
You're being inconsistent.
Morality is always inconsistent with an immoral world. Hit Herr Myers if you must, Morris. But remember, you will not have won the argument. Justice will not prevail. No. The only enemy we can hope to persuade, to our point of view, is a live enemy. Now, may I have my tea, Mrs. Stern?
I believe a leaf of grass is no less than the journey work of the stars, and the pismire is equally perfect, and a grain of sand, and the egg of a wren. And the running blackberry would adorn the parlors of heaven, and the narrowest hinge in my hand puts to scorn all machinery, and the cow, crunching with depressed head, surpasses any statue. And a mouse is miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels.
I think you'd better put your poems away. Old Myers is on a rampage this morning.
I'm ready for him.
How many times do I have to tell you I need 5,000 flags for the Grover Cleveland parade? Get busy! Stop sitting on your hands! Walk! Schweinehund! What do you think you are doing?
Working, Herr Myers.
Then what are these papers you got here?
Don't you touch my poems. Put them down.
Trash! I'll teach you to read poetry in my shop.
Give me back my poems.
Never! Into the fire they go, like this!
You dog. You dirty, low-down dog. I'll pay you back for this.
I'll show you who is the boss in this factory. I am going to give you such a beating.
Oh, no, you're not. Never again. I'm warning you, don't come near me.
Myers, put down that paperweight.
Do you think I'm afraid of you? You louse poop!
Watch out here, Myers.
Watch out!
Stand back. Get some water. Selig. All right. Is he breathing?
No, thanks to you. And I hope you're satisfied.
I didn't know he would bleed so much.
You better clear out of here fast, my friend.
Selig, he's not going to die, is he?
Maurice, stop pacing up and down. Sit down. Go to bed. Read a book. Do anything.
Suppose he dies, Mama.
You can't say self-defense. He was coming at you with that ruler.
I never thought he would bleed so much.
Go into the other room. It might be the police.
I'll face them.
Do as I tell you. I'm coming. Zelig.
Oh. Good evening, Mrs. Stern.
What do you mean by scaring me out of my way? Maurice, come out. It's Zelig.
Zelig. Zelig. Is he dead?
Fortunately for both of you, no. 5 minutes after you left, he began to come to. He was up on his feet in another 5 minutes.
Oh, thank God.
He refused a doctor, so we bandaged his head with the Stars and Stripes. And by mid-afternoon, he felt strong enough to give one of the sticker boys a beating.
So I didn't teach him a lesson.
Did you think you would?
Anyway, Maurice had his satisfaction.
But I'm out of a job.
All that howling New York winter, I pounded the pavements looking for work. A nameless face in the crowd. My beloved poems were gone, and with them, my identity. Late one afternoon, more to get out of the cold than anything else, I stepped into Wanamaker's store. Blind instinct led me to the book counter.
Did you wish to purchase a book?
No. No, thanks. I'm just looking.
Oh.
Wait a minute, miss.
Yes?
Do you... I mean, I wonder if you have a copy of Leaves of Grass.
Leaves of Grass? Yes, we have it.
Could I see it?
I suppose so. It's right here under the counter. I'll get it for you. Here it is. But be careful, it's very expensive.
How much does it cost?
$3.75. Do be careful with it. Yes, madam, what can I do for you?
Give me the splendid silent sun. Tears came into my eyes at the lines. Why should I be denied everything? Why not just take it and walk out?
Pardon me. Are you finished with the book? This lady would like to buy it.
I was saved. But salvation produced no ecstasy. With sinking heart, I watched the book being wrapped, watched the lady depart. I will never know what made me follow her. At the haberdashery counter, she stopped, selected a half dozen ties, paid for them with a crackling $10 bill, paid for them and departed, leaving the book on the counter.
Lady. Lady, you left something.
In a daze, I watched her disappear through the big front doors to be swallowed up in the snow outside. I turned back. There it was, my book, discreetly wrapped, waiting for me to pick it up. Surely God must intend for me to have it. The clerk was busy down the counter. I snatched it up, hid it under my coat, and made for the door.
Maurice, stop!
Haven't you got a conscience?
Mama, Selig, listen to me. Stealing from a store is not like stealing from a person. A store has no heart. A store can't suffer. Besides, a store is insured.
Shoddy excuses. Can't you think of any better ones?
Of course I can. The book is rightfully mine, Selig.
Why?
Because I appreciate it. That woman, she's fat, indolent, stupid. What is Walt Whitman to her? He wrote it for me.
Foots talk rationalizations. The ends never justify the means. You know that.
You're narrow-minded.
A prig.
Be quiet. Listen to him. He warned you about Herr Meyer. He almost committed murder. And here you go again.
Stealing is not murder.
Thou shalt not steal. It's one of the commandments.
Oh, keep quiet, both of you. I'll take it back. Now are you satisfied? Miss, this book.
Yes, what about it? Why, that's the copy of Leaves of Grass I sold not 15 minutes ago. Where'd you find it?
I found it.
Found it? He did nothing of the sort. He took it from the haberdashery counter. I've been hunting for him up and down. Now, you come with me.
Imagine a young boy like that stealing a book.
I didn't steal it. I didn't. I was bringing it back.
A likely story. Come along now.
Where are you taking me?
Upstairs, the manager's office. He'll make short shrift of you.
So this is what happened. You were the victim of a sudden, irresistible impulse, but in the end, your better nature prevailed. You were returning the book when apprehended by the vigilant Mr. Casey. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Before acquitting you, I'm going to put you to a test.
Yes, sir.
If you are the ardent admirer of Walt Whitman that you claim to be, then surely you must have committed some of his poems to memory.
Oh, I have.
Then give me a stanza or two.
I guess this is my favorite right now. It's called Give Me the Splendid Silent Sun. Give me the splendid silent sun, with all his beams full dazzling.
Give me juicy autumnal fruit, ripe and red from the orchard.
Give me a field where the unmowed grass grows. Give me an arbor. Give me the trellised grape.
That's enough. The defense may rest. I think you've acquitted yourself.
You mean I can go?
Oh, one moment. The book. I'd like to write something in it. Then you may take it with you.
Me? Take it? But the lady who bought it.
The store will see that she gets another copy. I'd like this one to be yours. It happened almost 60 years ago. I'm an old man now, and Wanamaker's New York store is no more. I go to my bookshelves. There it is. The yellowed copies of Leaves of Grass with the remembered inscription.
I cannot give you the splendid silent sun you so ardently desire, but perhaps you will accept this gift from one admirer of Walt Whitman to another.
Give me the splendid silent sun. The words can still spark the old flame. I'm a boy again with a boy's aching grasp after the unreachable. I'm a boy walking home from Wanamaker's in the snow. A boy walking home under halos of swirling city lights. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Irving M. Engel of New York City, prominent civic leader and president of the American Jewish Committee. Mr. Engel.
Listening to this amusing and touching story of an immigrant boy and his love for the poetry of Walt Whitman, I thought of the countless newcomers who have become better acquainted with America through our literature, through the words of the great thinkers who have so eloquently depicted our dreams and aspirations. Among those who have sung the vision that is America, Whitman was perhaps the most inspired. Just 100 years ago, his Leaves of Grass was first published. There, with passionate eloquence, the poet set forth his love for this land and its people. For to Walt Whitman, America was people, all kinds of people, living, working, building together. And today, as free men brace themselves to resist the menace of communism with its utter contempt for human rights, Americans are reaffirming their belief in the values that Walt Whitman upheld above all, the dignity and worth of the individual. The sum of all reverence I add up in you, whoever you are, he said. The president is there in the White House for you. It is not you who are here for him. The secretaries act in their bureaus for you, not you for them. The Congress convenes every 12th month for you. Laws, courts, the forming of states, the charters of cities, the going and coming of commerce and mails are all for you. Today we are moving ever closer to Whitman's dream of true democracy. Step by step, we are overcoming racial and religious discrimination. We can see this dramatic progress on all sides. In the armed forces, for example, where the color bar is breaking down. In our nation's capital, where segregation in public facilities is ending. And in our public schools, where the historic Supreme Court decision will unite all America's children instead of keeping them apart. Such great advances would have thrilled and delighted Walt Whitman. For to him, the brotherhood of man was a very personal thing. He said, "Whoever degrades another degrades me, and whatever is done or said returns at last to me. I will accept nothing which all cannot have their counterpart of on the same terms." Those words are from Walt Whitman's Song of Myself. May we soon see the day when they become the creed of all men everywhere.
Thank you, Mr. Engel. Our eternal I-drama today, Walt Whitman and I, was written by Virginia Mazur and was presented in commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the publication of Leaves of Grass. Today's program was based on a story by Maurice Stern in the New Yorker magazine. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Norman Rose, Jack Orison, Edwin Bruce, David Anderson, Mary Lou Forster, Nina Hansen, Theo Goetz. Your narrator was Edwin Jerome. This is Mel Brandt. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Roy Shield. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.